I'm Shay Frank. You're listening to WYSO Today for Thursday, August 6th.
Support has been booming for a small business in Beaver Creek after the large chain travel station Bucky's sued the store in federal court, alleging trademark infringement. Beaver's Mini Mart on Haynes Road sports a cartoon beaver next to its name on a sign, a logo that Bucky's claims could cause confusion for consumers looking for its trademark beaver with a red cap and wide eyes. The lawsuit seeks to block Beaver's Mini Mart from using the logo, plus to pay damages and legal fees. But the case has led to a wave of support. Ohio Senator Willis Blackshear says the lawsuit should be dropped and that costly litigation would be detrimental to a small business. The Beaver Creek City Council will vote Monday on a resolution supporting local organizations and businesses that use a beaver as the city's historic symbol. The resolution says, quote, "The beaver is not just a corporate marketing device," end quote. And a GoFundMe has been started to support the shop's legal fees, raising more than $22,000 so far. The store's owner, Vic Boparai, says he's thankful for the community support. Bucky's did not return a request for comment. Its first Ohio location opened in April in Huber Heights, about 13 miles from Beaver's Mini Mart.
A grassroots effort to let voters decide whether to ban data centers in a small Butler County city faces an uncertain future. Trenton County City Council rejected Monday a charter amendment petition to prohibit the construction of large-scale data centers in the city. The council determined the petition didn't contain the number of signatures required for it to be placed on the November ballot. Petition supporters vow to challenge the decision. They say their lawyer plans to file for an expedited writ of mandamus with the Ohio Supreme Court. A federal agency wants sweeping changes to regulations that protect historic sites. As WYSO's Indigenous Affairs reporter Adriana Martinez-Smiley reports, the regulations could prevent historic Ohio tribes from saving their sacred sites.
The regulations can be found in Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act of 1966. It requires federally funded or permitted projects to seek ways to avoid, minimize, or mitigate damaging impacts on recognized historic properties. It also requires notification and consultation with local governments, state historic preservation offices, and tribal historic preservation offices or governments. Late last month, the Federal Agency Advisory Council on Historic Preservation voted by email to loosen these regulations. The revisions make consultation optional and narrows what's considered damaging. NPR reports a memo from the council that justifies the decision, saying the current rules create confusion and delays for the public and agencies. The changes have drawn criticism from tribal representatives, archaeologists, historic preservation officers, and some politicians. Greg Werkheiser, co-founder of the law firm Cultural Heritage Partners, says these changes would reduce tribes' abilities to consult on historic sites in their homelands.
So it is very possible that tribes show up one day and see bulldozers going through a sacred site and have had no notice, let alone an opportunity to participate.
Many federally recognized tribes no longer live in their homelands due to colonization and forced removal. That includes Ohio. The changes aren't official. The agency has to allow public comments. The public comment period hasn't been announced. Werkheiser says the revised regulations will likely lead to lawsuits. For WYSO News, I'm Adriana Martinez-Smiley.
WYSO reached out to Ohio History Connection, which oversees the state's Historic Preservation Office, for comment. In an email, State Historic Preservation Officer Diana Welling says she's closely monitoring this process and, quote, working to ensure that preservation partners, local governments, consulting parties, applicants, property owners, and interested members of the public have access to accurate information about the proposed changes and the federal comment process, end quote. Welling says the goal is to keep Ohio's preservation community up to date on the proposal. She says the office will share information and resources in the coming weeks. The American Red Cross Blood and Platelet Donation Center is expected to open in Beaver Creek this winter. This comes after an assessment found that renovations to modernize the Dayton Center would cost $3 million, whereas a move to Beaver Creek would cut monthly operation costs by 35%. The Beaver Creek facility will also serve as a hub for Red Cross disaster response operations, CPR, AED, and first aid training, as well as office space for employees and volunteers. The Red Cross's current building on West 1st Street in Dayton will soon be listed for sale as the organization transitions to its new facility. The Boys and Girls Club of Dayton's $18 million campaign for its updated facility is now receiving support from the Montgomery County Board of Commissioners. The board will provide $250,000 toward construction costs of the 37,000-square-foot building, including a life and workforce readiness center. It will expand resources for youth through spaces and programming that focuses on personal growth, education, and workforce preparation. Work on the facility is expected to be completed by May of 2027. Heading into the weekend, Friday is forecast to see a chance of showers and thunderstorms, but otherwise it'll be sunny with temps in the mid-80s. That rain chance is expected to continue through Saturday after 11 a.m., but Sunday is looking sunny with a high of 88, a nice respite from that rainy lead-up as we look toward next week where more showers are forecasted. And that's your news from WYSO Today for Thursday, August 6th. I'm Shay Frank.
Hey, it's Peter Sagal. Maybe you've never seen Wait Wait live and in person, but you've thought to yourself, well, what's the big deal? I can just listen on the radio. Well, yeah, but you never get to hear everything that happens.
That can be edited right out. Don't you worry about that.
So come join us September 3rd at the Rose Music Center.
Don't worry, it's not going to make broadcast.
That's Wait Wait Live, September 3rd at the Rose Music Center. For tickets, go to nprpresents.org, but only if you're ready for it.
That's why you have to come to a live show.
That's right.